I call this little opus The Dark. It's the sort of horror that was most effective on radio after midnight to make you wish, as you pull the bed covers over your head that night, that the author had been strangled while very young. But he wasn't. So, try this on for size.
Hey, where are you turning?
The alarm said Pine Street, didn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. So why the siren? The only traffic out here is on horseback.
Yeah. You can say that again, Doc. It's from nothing to nowhere.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right with you, Doc. Right with you. Said somebody was hurt?
That's what the switchboard said.
Gee, what a dump. Huh. Don't seem to be a bell.
Oh, there must be. There's a light in there. Try the door.
Yeah, it's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Frightened.
Come on, Doc. You want us to get her out of here? Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? No, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there for?
Can't get this open.
Okay.
Whoever
okay.
is hurt must be in there. Blasted door. Come on, we'll break it down.
But the woman.
Forget the woman. Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Here, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah.
Mother in heaven.
On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes, see for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. A man turned inside out. Like you turn a glove inside.
It's alive. It's alive.
I see.
Alive.
Yes.
Doc, it's trying to get up.
No.
Trying to get up, I tell you. Trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
I can't watch. Look at it, rolling over.
Trying
to get up.
Stop that. Look,
trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam,
man
stop.
Can't live inside.
Sam, stop. I tell you. Stop. Hysterical old woman, it's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. What?
Look, there's another door.
Yeah.
Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't. We got
the lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Doc, what?
Don't move. There's no floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc, close the door.
No, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... She's coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam. I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it.
Yes.
Oh, Doc, will you listen to me? Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. She's just standing there, looking into the dark.
Yeah. Doc, what's that coming up out of the hole in the floor?
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Crawling up around her.
It's covering her.
No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam. Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. The shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on. Sam, you're... Oh, you're too heavy. I can't lift you. Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows, they're crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you here. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam. I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. Like long black fingers. Ah, my legs. Let go of me. Sam, I can't help you. They're holding me back. The black. It's covering you. Sam! Sam. No. No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me. Stop covering me. I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me. Cold. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? So cold. Covering me over. My head. Ah. My face. The go. My face. My mouth. The cold. It's over. Great.
The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the 23rd broadcast of a special series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world in which we live. Tonight's play, Rocket from Manhattan, will be introduced by Mr. Obler.
Prophecy is an easy thing, for rarely is the prophet brought to judgment. Tonight I bring you a false prophecy. The place of our story is a great rocket speeding away from the moon. Yes, away. For the first trip to the moon has finally taken place, and a triumphant airship is now rapidly returning to the Mother Earth. Here, then, is a story about a tomorrow 55 years hence, September 20th in the year of our Lord, 2000, on board a rocket ship. A play that is, I sincerely hope, a very false prophecy.
Fun. The sky is sure the limit, our new century's begun. We're floating on our plastic boats. We're flying through the air. The world is all our playground. We haven't got a care. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys. I'm glad to be alive. I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys. I'm glad to be alive. I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive.
Hi, Doc. How about joining us?
Yes, Doctor. Don't you think it's about time we had a little celebration?
There's a great deal of work to be done.
Work's over, Doctor. 24 hours more and we're back.
Yes, Doctor. We'll be back. We've done it. Complete.
In 24 hours.
If you're worried about our landing, I'm not. You worried, Reynolds?
No, sir. Everything's in perfect order.
Sure, Doc. This is going to be a round trip. Anyway, there's 24 hours before we have to worry about that.
Yes, Doctor. It's a time for celebration. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys. I'm glad to be alive.
I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive.
Reynolds. Oh, Major Reynolds. Are you men out of your minds? You, Major Russell. Reynolds is still a boy, but you're a mature man. Please act maturely.
Oh, but Doctor,
I'll grant you that our adventure has gone well.
Well is right. We've been to the moon.
My congratulations, Reynolds.
Thank you, Major, thank you. I'll put the medal on my other chest.
Will you men listen to me? We're 48,000 miles from the Earth.
And headed right for it.
We're not there yet.
Doc, pardon the expression, but you're a gloomy Joe.
I am a realist.
But Doctor, the possibilities of anything's going wrong are remote. Surely we're entitled to relax a little and relish the fact of what we've done.
Yeah, we've done it, Doc. Even if we never get back, we've done it. We've been to the moon, and it'll always be there on the books.
I'm not interested in becoming an historical fact, Major Russell. The data we've collected, that's my only interest. May I ask you and Reynolds to get back to your post?
Oh, but everything's going like clockwork. Look at the gauges.
But we are out of radio contact with the Earth.
Yes, sir. But we are on course. Doc, what is wrong?
Wrong? What should be wrong?
Well, the kid's right, Doc. Ever since we made the circle and started back all these days, you've been acting as if we didn't make it. We've gone 243,000 miles, and we're three-quarters of the way back, and we're in, Doc. We're in. So what's the matter with you?
How old were you, Major, when the Second World War ended?
Oh, about five. What's that got to do?
And you, Reynolds, you weren't even born.
No, sir.
I was 21 on that day in New Mexico when they set off the first chain reaction. 21.
Doc, you mean to say you were in at the beginning of it?
Well, of course he was. But Dr. Chamberlain was one of the original research men in the atomic bomb project back in 45. The only one of them alive today.
Well, what do you know? So that's why you wanted to make this trip, Doc. I mean, you...
Yes, Major. You wanted it as a substitution for what you missed as a boy. The excitement and glory of war.
Oh, now, Doc,
it's that's... true, and Reynolds here is young and idealistic. And the scientific wonder of it was what he wanted. And I was there at the birth of an era. Now atomic power is driving me into space, back to the Earth where it all began. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, Doc?
That's not pertinent to any of this. We have no time to discuss our emotions. There's work to be done.
Airspeed, 23,486.
Airspeed, 23,486.
Interior temperature, 68.2.
Interior temperature, 68.2.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
Any radio contact, Reynolds?
No, sir.
How about that, Doc?
Unfortunate, but not very vital. We're definitely on course.
How much longer will it be, Doc?
10 hours. At the most, 10 hours.
In the middle of LaGuardia Field. That's where I'd like to land.
I hope not.
Texas. Isn't that it?
Sure, sure. We'll hit the flats right on the nose.
If the auxiliary jets work.
They worked on the moon. They'll work on landing. We're the good luck boys, Doc. We can't miss.
You have the optimism of a 16-year-old. Reynolds, you'd better get back to your radio. Try phone contact.
Yes, sir.
Major, check the jet temperatures.
Right jet, 1580.
Right jet, 1580.
Left jet, 1583.
Left jet, 1583.
Speed, 24,832.
Speed, 24,832.
XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello. XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello.
Any luck?
No, sir.
Put your transmitter back on automatic.
Yes, sir.
Why do you laugh, Major?
I was just thinking about how many millions of telescopes are turned in our direction.
Yes?
What you said a few hours ago. I mean, about my wanting the excitement and adventure. That's true, you know. I'm 60 years old, and I guess I just lived for this chance. The Army hadn't okayed my going. Well, here I am. Once we land, I'll admit frankly, I'm going to cash in on every bit of it and have myself a time. You know something? I get to feeling kind of depressed when I think it'll soon be over. Well, there's no reason for depression, is there?
I couldn't answer that.
Why not?
You've been wondering undoubtedly why, ever since we left the moon, I've been acting strangely.
That's right.
I've never believed in predestination, and yet there's been sort of a motivation of fate in my life. At 21, I was part of that research team trying to adapt atomic power to military purposes. When that first bomb went off over the New Mexico desert, a newspaper man repeated the words, "What hath God wrought?" And no one quite knew. I've been waiting 55 years for the answer. I think I found it a few hours ago on the moon. And it's an answer full of horror.
You're sleeping.
Yes.
It's only a few more hours, isn't it?
Yes.
Will we have to put on our compression suits the way we did on the takeoff?
Yes, of course.
Doctor, may I ask you something?
Yes?
Before, you spoke of finding an answer on the moon. And then you didn't say any more. Well, I've been thinking about it. I was wondering if it was something that the Major couldn't understand, and that's why you didn't speak of it further.
And now you want to know?
Yes, sir. I haven't lived anywhere as long as you two have, but my life has been built around atomic power. My dad, he was one of your men. Why, ever since I was a child, becoming a physicist like Dad was and you are and Dr. Oppenheimer and all the rest, why, that was it. But now, all of a sudden, the way you spoke before, as if all our research has been criminal. Do you mean that? Do you? Collision, radar.
Get at it.
What's the matter?
Object approaching.
Where?
15 degrees west. There it is.
Meteorite. It's a meteorite.
That was the closest.
It was indeed.
It'd be sardonic indeed to collide with a meteorite at this point in our journey.
I'd use a stronger word than sardonic, Doctor.
Yeah, like fatal.
It's all clear.
Well, I'd better get back to
my... Reynolds, you asked me a question before and I want to answer it. You too, Major Russell. I want you to hear this.
Sure.
Reynolds overheard what I said to you. That I'd found the answer to a very old question on the moon. He said that he felt that somehow I thought all of the research on atomic power had been criminal. No, young man, I don't believe that. Not at all. Criminal to know more about a way of nature? No. The answer I found was something else. I haven't even an answer, perhaps only a theory. When we came within 100 miles of the moon and then began to de-accelerate, to turn back, what did we see through the observation ports?
Well, Doc, we saw...
No,
just...
please, let me tell you what I saw. The craters of the moon... Great, gigantic craters, and as we came closer and closer, the look of them was so familiar. Not because I had seen them through telescopes and in photographs, but for some reason that I couldn't quite understand. Craters of the moon, and suddenly, at the very moment when we'd come as close as we dared and our ship swung in an orbit to return, suddenly I knew. It was a memory of another crater I had seen 55 years before in New Mexico from an observation plane high over the ground. A few hours after the first atomic bomb had lit the sky with a new sun. Yes. The crater in the crust of the Earth that bomb had left was the same as the craters of the moon. Do you understand? The crater our bomb had left on the Earth was the same as the craters on the moon.
So what? I don't get it.
Yes, Doctor. What are you getting at? Why, the crater in that desert was a thousandth of the size of the ones you're talking about.
I suddenly began to think. Was it not possible that the moon had gone through the same evolutionary processes as our Earth before our Earth? Yes. Wasn't it possible that men had come into being on the moon, developed their own civilization, had known scientific progress, even as we have, but long before we Earthmen had known it?
Say, Doc!
You do understand. These men of the moon had discovered the secret of atomic power long before we did, and then had used it to blast and to tear each other. Yes. And the craters on the moon, that terrible devastation, was the record of the destruction of their civilization. A final war, which had burned up the very atmosphere and left the moon a dead planet circling endlessly through an airless sky.
All right, Doctor. Presuming your theory is correct, that the moon men had started through a war, a chain atomic reaction that they couldn't stop, well, what of it? It indicates that they were fools.
Yeah, that's it. Fools.
Are we any wiser?
You'd better cut it down.
Right, how much?
About 15%.
Right.
You get anything, Reynolds?
No, sir.
Would you come here a moment?
Yes, sir.
Will you help me with this port covering?
Yes, sir.
Here, there.
All right.
Well, I'll take a look, huh?
Yes, that's it. There she is.
Mama Earth.
Reynolds, the cameras?
Yes, sir. How much should I run, Doctor?
Put it on automatic exposure.
Yes, sir.
6 more hours, eh, Doctor?
Or less.
You sure we haven't made a mistake and headed for Venus?
What are you...
That was just a bad joke, Doc. Well, there's no two ways about it. The outline of the continents, we can't make any mistake about that being our home address. I wonder how much they can see of us. What are we, 6,000-7,000 miles out? You know, this reminds me of the time about 25 years ago. The Army sent me up to 1,000 miles to take observation photographs. We remember how the atomic reaction motors were then. We got up about 500 feet.
Major.
What? What?
Look down. Look.
What? Well, I don't see anything.
Look, I tell you. Reynolds, come here.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Well, the doctor says...
Reynolds, look. You see?
Yes. What is it?
I see it, too. Bright lights going on and off. What's going on down there?
Doctor, are they signaling us? Are they signaling?
It's 6,000 miles. Why? Why should they?
That's right. There's no such plan.
Look at it. It is lights going on and off.
But they're all from one area.
Can you make out where?
North America.
Then they are signals. The candle in the window.
Your own question. At 6,000 miles?
Wait a minute.
Are they explosions?
Explosions? Major Doctor, is that it? Are they explosions?
I don't know.
CQ, CQ, hello?
I'm sorry, Doctor, I can't raise anyone.
Doc, come here.
Yes, what?
Look, the closer we get, they are explosions.
3 more hours, we'll know.
I want to know now. Reynolds, what's the matter with you? Why can't you make radio contact?
I'm doing everything I can.
Major.
Doc, what are...
Craters. Look, craters.
Craters? At this altitude, you couldn't possibly...
After each flash, I do see them.
Okay, what does it mean? What are you looking at me like that for? What does it mean?
Dr. Major, something's coming through.
Oh, what about time?
I can only hear it faintly.
What?
Please, let me listen. United States. What?
Reynolds, what is it?
Tell us. What? Boys, I couldn't quite make out. They said...
Said what?
Tell us. War. He said war. Blasting the United States off the face of the earth.
Blasting?
It's a joke, isn't it? Isn't it?
Sending now. What now?
It began an hour ago. No warning. Projectiles, radio controlled. Point of origin unknown. Oh, it stopped again, the transmission.
That's enough. Where's the International Police Force? What's being done about it? Doctor! Doctor, did you hear it was an attack without warning? Who could it be? What's the idea?
The explosions are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds! Reynolds, is there anything more coming through?
No, nothing. Yes. Yes, they started transmission again.
All right, let's have it quick.
Some station in Midwestern. I can't get the call letters.
Who cares?
He says it's hell. Ground shaking. No bombs landed near, but air reconnaissance. So garbled I can hardly make out.
Well?
It started an hour ago. Everything burning. Now it's stopped again. There's nothing.
Doctor? Doctor, in heaven's name, what do you think it's all about? Stop staring out of the window and talk to me.
What are they doing?
What do you mean, what are they doing? They're bombing us, blasting us. It's war, but who? I've got to find out. Reynolds, find out who.
What? It's no use. There's no transmission.
Doctor, those bombs, where are they coming from? Can't you tell by the trajectory?
At this distance? And what difference does the face of the enemy make? It's happening, that's all.
Smashed them. I always said we should have smashed them. Exterminated them 50 years ago.
Oh, they were so peaceful for so many years. And
the flashes are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds, get on that radio.
I'll try again.
I've got to know who. The devils. We had agreements with everyone. The international devils. All of them. Call them devils. I don't even know who they are. Reynolds! You get anything?
No. No, I don't.
Doctor, faster. Let's get down there faster. Let's open it up.
You know better than that. We're entering atmosphere. Increased speed, and we'd burn up like a meteorite.
But I'm an army man. All my life I've been
trained. Something's coming
through. What? What?
The bombs? Nothing can... I can hardly make it out.
Keep at it.
Panic. Paratroopers.
Who? Who?
Last message from United States of... It's ended. There is no more.
Get down there faster.
Only 500 more miles.
Look at it down there. Our Air Force, protective measures. What happened to them?
What happened?
Doctor, you, why don't you say something? We'll just sit there for hours watching. This isn't a scientific experiment going on down there. They're blasting us to pieces. Us. Your atomic bomb, the great secret. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. You said that. Yes, you. I was a kid then. I heard you say it over the radio when they gave you a medal. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. What do you got to say now?
We had a wonderful 55 years.
What?
Everybody had a wonderful time.
Reynolds, what's the matter with him? He's gone.
No. Let him finish.
First, we hung the criminals 55 years ago. And as soon as their bodies stopped swinging, we left the crowd and each went back to his own house and shut the door.
You said the peace would hold forever.
I I said it because I thought that when the secret was put away, the people of the world would remember the terror. I said to myself, now. Surely now that they've seen the possibility of the disintegration of their Earth, they'll be drawn together once again into the family of men as it must have been in the beginning. I forgot what years could do. I forgot how quickly forgetfulness comes. I forgot that in only a few years, Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be only yesterday's sensations for a nation eager for sensations for today. You'll keep asking me who's sending those bombs against us, who? I tell you, we're sending them against ourselves. Because had we made our way of life something more than a confused dream of shiny machines and happy endings, those bombs would not be flying at us. I said the peace would hold forever because I thought out of that war at last men had learned that there was no defense against hatred and revenge, but the defense of education for the unity of people. It was a race, gentlemen, against time. And we wasted our last 55 years running backwards on a track of chromium and plastics. And so we've lost. Forever.
We've never lost.
Look, the blasts are increasing.
Doctor, look. The color of the blast.
Oh, dear God.
What? What?
Doctor, it's nitrogen, isn't it?
Nitrogen? What?
The fools, the everlasting fools, I warn.
The blast. More and more.
They started something they couldn't end. The color of the blast, they've set off hydrogen atoms.
I don't know what you...
We used uranium, plutonium, and when the initial blast was over, that was all. But hydrogen, that's part of life. One reaction sets off the other like setting off an endless chain until... Look down there.
Blast. Faster and faster.
They're spreading.
The fools. God help the fools.
A sheet of flame. Around the earth. Doctor, tell me, what is it?
It burned up all the atmosphere.
Burned up? Reynolds, what does he mean?
The chain reaction burned up all the air.
Oh, my.
Major. Major, the left jet.
It's all right. Where are we going?
There's no air, no life. The moon, the earth, the same.
How much fuel?
There's the gauge.
2-3 hours?
Yes. Yes, I think that's right, isn't it, Major?
Yeah.
What do we do?
You ask that question now? The Major no longer asks it. Do you know the answer, Major?
Sure. We'll circle around. Then we'll crash.
No. No, it'll be all right, my boy. My words again. Have peace forever.
Just heard Rocket from Manhattan, a new play by Art Obler. The cast included Elliot Lewis, Lou Merrill, and Irvin Lee. The original music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin. Sound, Jack Snell and Bill James. Engineer, Misha Peltz. Next week, we will bring you another new play by Mr. Obler. Its title, The Family Nagashi. This will be the 24th in a special series of plays written, produced, and directed for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Arch Obler.
To another time, the time of King George III of England. But our story tonight is not of monarchy. It's the story of an ordinary man by the name of Samuel Jones, who had the extraordinary profession of state executioner.
Tonight's Lights Out presents another psychological drama, a play in which the principal part is taken not by the character himself, but by his thoughts. The voice you are about to hear is that of the thoughts of one Samuel Jones, the state executioner for His Majesty George III. He sits alone in a dismal room, and these are his thoughts.
I want to be dead, dead, dead. Do you feel anything when you're dead? Are you hungry? Are you cold? Are you tired when you're dead? No? When I'm dead, I'll have peace, peace. I've got to have peace, kill myself. Yes, bullet in my heart, the pain. I don't like pain, but it can't hurt. They say it doesn't hurt, only hanging hurts. I know it does. I've seen their faces when they cut them down purple, black. I've seen their faces when the masks came off and there's pain in them. Pain that twists their faces, grinds their teeth, and gives them living hell until at last they die. That's why I've got to use this pistol to kill myself. I can't stand pain. All I want is peace. Peace. It's getting late. I've got to do it quick before they get here. I ran much faster than they did, but they'll get here quick enough. I'm about to be dead when they come in through that door. They can't bother the dead in their grave. I'll be dead, dead, deep, deep in the grave. Why should they blame me? I only did my duty. Someone's got to be the hangman. Someone's got... That's what he said to me that night. That's what his lordship said to me 20 years ago, it was. He said...
Samuel Jones, eh?
Yes, your lordship.
What makes you think you can do this work?
I just know, your worship. I know all about hanging, sir. Everything there is to know.
Well.
Hemp rope's best, sir. Hemp rope. But each rope's got to be fresh and new for every job. And you've got to keep it soapstoned and always in a cool, dry place.
Well, you do know something about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Then there's the short drop and the long drop. The long drop's better, sir. I know it is.
Eh?
It breaks their neck, sir. Every time it breaks their neck.
All right. I'll give you your chance. We're having a hanging here tomorrow. I'll let you do it. If all goes well, I'll recommend you to the prison board. If all goes well.
All did go well. Why not? And there I was, executioner for His Majesty. 5 guineas, a broken neck. 777 hangings in 20 years. 777 broken necks, and mine the hand that sprung the trap. 777 times. And now the hand's got a pistol in it. When they reach here, when they knock on that door, I'll press the trigger, and so I won't have them face them. None of them. 777 broken necks, and no one knew that I was the man who did it. Not even she knew it. Ellen, my own wife, not even she. I met her, married her, and she didn't know. Until that day. Infernal day, that meddling fool nosing around.
It's the truth. I'm telling you, Mrs. Jones, it's God's the judge.
Oh, no, no, there must be some mistake.
No mistake at all, Mrs. Jones. No mistake at all, my husband told me. And he never makes mistakes, not my husband.
What did you say?
State executioner. You know your husband's the... Oh, don't you know?
Please, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look here, don't you know what your husband does?
You mean the business he's in?
Business? Aye, hanging's the business.
Hanging?
Hanging. On a rope.
But what has Samuel to do with those?
Mrs. Jones, are you saying you don't know that Samuel's the hangsman?
You must be crazy.
Oh, so I'm crazy, am I? Well, he's the hangsman, and no mistake about it.
He's not.
And I...
He's not. Get out of here. Get out. Get out.
Well, now, you don't have to be... Well, here he is. Ask him yourself.
Oh, Sam.
What's going on here? What's the matter?
What is it, Ellen?
Oh, Sam, this woman.
What about this woman? What?
I've done it to tell the aunt,
Sam. Oh, Sam, she says...
Says what? What?
All I said was that you were the Angsman, as you are.
Get out of here.
Now, just a minute.
Get out.
All right, I'll go.
Say one more word about me and I'll kill you. You hear me? I'll kill you.
Meddling fools.
Sam.
You shouldn't have talked to her. Why did you listen?
Sam.
Things like that, it isn't good for me.
Sam, it is true.
A man's got to earn his living.
A living from killing.
You're crazy. I don't kill. I don't condemn them.
You killed
them. I tell you, I'm not the judge. Oh, now, Ellen.
Touch me, hangman.
All right, that's what I am, hangman.
Hangman.
Yes, hangman. Say it again and again. What do I care? I like being a hangman. You hear me? I like being a hangman.
Oh, no.
Yes, get something more.
No, Sam.
I like killing them.
No.
I like the way they stumble when they walk up the stairs.
No.
I like the cold whiteness of their skins when I put the noose around their necks. I like the way everyone looks at me, watches me, and then the crash of the rope stretches. Sometimes their legs kick in the air and you hear them heaving for a little while. They can't get past the tight rope around their neck.
No, Sam. No, Sam.
When I was a boy, they strung a man up from a tree just outside of the town. And I watched him and I saw him dance on air. And I said to myself, someday I'll do that too.
No.
Hang them, legal, make them dance on air because it's the law. And now I'm doing what I wanted. Executioner for the crown. And Waylon won't change it a bit. Now, come here to me.
No, stay away from me.
Come here.
No, I won't stay with you. I won't, Hangman. I won't stay with you. I'll go away.
I thought she wouldn't leave me, but she did. Ellen left me. I looked all over, couldn't find her. After a while, I didn't care what's a woman. I had my work. Hanging work. 5 guineas a hanging and gold coin. 5 of them. 5 golden guineas. I like the sound of them. One. 2, 3, 4, 5. I bought a strong box and kept them there. Every hanging, and 5 more. Paying me, they were for what I like to do. It was funny, very funny. I didn't miss her. No, why should I? I had my work. I got to be good at my work. The courts were good, too. They gave me plenty to do. I tried out different ways. I made a hanging machine with springs and sandbags that jerked the man into the air first and then dropped him through a trap. I tried out different ropes and different running nooses. Oh, I got to be good at it in 20 years, real good. Ticking, stop ticking. I hear you, blasted clock. I hear you. What are you trying to tell me? I know. There isn't much time left. They'll be here soon. Let them come. I'm ready. Pistol in my hand, I'm ready. For the first knock on the door, I won't be here to hear them. I'll have peace and quiet. Whatever they say to me, I won't hear it because I'll be dead. And why should they say it? What's done is done. 777 of them. It was fun because each died different. 777 different hangings. It was fun, I tell you, fun. Summer morning. And some went to the gallows of crying. The best of all, I like the one that went out crazy scared.
Oh, no.
Green, yellow, wave. Yes. The ones that were crazy scared were the best. I like them fine. And 5 guineas just the same for having fun. 5 guineas. Outside at the door, I heard a sound. Now, I just imagine no one's knocking. They knock, I press the trigger, they won't get me, not me. 777 at 5 guineas each. Coins that bit into my flesh when I grabbed them tight. Oh, I like the sound. Money, yellow money. First, I like the hangings best, and then the money. Then I got to like them both. Eager around the courtrooms, this trial, that trial. Would they hang him? Would they hang her? Would the judge say guilty? If he did, then they're hanging another 5 guineas. Oh, I'll watch for business, new business, my business. Hang them up and watch them die. Well, when they knock on the door, when pistol's heavy in my hand, he used a pistol too, they said, Tom Allen. I read about him in the court announcement one day when I was outside of the courtroom looking for new business. Hanging business.
Thomas Allen, 20-year-old law student.
was charged by the city police with having murdered his sweetheart, Lorraine Hamilton, 19-year-old daughter of Arvin Hamilton. Young Allen denied the charge vigorously. He stated that the girl had sent him a letter in which he told of her intentions of committing suicide. But at a late hour, Allen was unable to produce this letter. He was held without bond at the teller in the church.
Yes, that's what it said. That's what it said. He murdered her, young girl. The minute I read it, I said to myself, Sam Jones is the next one. I could hear the money clinking in my hand already. And Tom Allen hanging by his neck. What am I thinking about? What am I... Why don't they come and knock on the door and let me get this over with? I need the knocking on the door to give me nerve enough to press the trigger. This waiting, waiting. I waited for Tom Allen, too. I waited for them to say guilty to him so I could put the running noose around his neck. I waited, waited, going every day to the trial. The prosecutor for the Crown said...
Guilty.
The young man's solicitor said...
Not guilty.
The young man said...
I didn't do it. I tell you, I didn't do it. She did it herself. She wrote me a letter saying that she was killing herself. She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, that's what he said. She wrote me a letter saying she was killing herself. Where was the letter? Where was the letter? Nobody knew. Couldn't find it. And day after day, sitting there in the courtroom, I could see the noose coming close and close. 2 days more, and he'd be dancing on air. Another 5 guineas in my box. Such a pity. Such a handsome young man. Strong young neck for my rope. I say he didn't have a chance. What good did it do for his solicitor to keep saying...
I tell you, gentlemen, it is circumstantial evidence and circumstantial evidence alone which has been produced. A weird combination of circumstances have conspired to make it appear that the suicide of this unfortunate girl was a murder committed by this equally unfortunate young man. And an equally weird set of circumstances have resulted in the disappearance of this vital letter, which clears Tom Allen of all responsibility for Mistress Hamilton's death. In this letter, the girl clearly stated that she was taking her own life by poison. In spite of the absence of this letter, surely you, as intelligent men, can tell after seeing and hearing Tom Allen's testimony that he is telling the truth, that such a letter did reach him, and that he is innocent of all wrongdoing.
But there was no letter. He didn't have a chance. The prosecutor for the Crown got up. He said...
A letter. A mysterious letter. And where, gentlemen of the jury, is this letter? To what mystical realms has it disappeared? This wondrous communication which so conveniently absolved Tom Allen for the death of that poor girl. Where, I ask again, is this letter? The young man has stated repeatedly that the letter was in his lodging undestroyed. But every inch of that lodging has been carefully examined. And yet the letter has not been found. And why hasn't it been found, gentlemen? I will tell you. It is because that letter does not exist. Lorraine Hamilton never wrote such a letter. She was murdered. Murdered in a fit of jealous rage by this man who expects you to believe a preposterous story about her death.
Yes, I sat there and I felt good, because I saw that young fellow didn't have a chance. My noose was getting closer, closer to his neck. And then the black cap on the judge's head.
For this vicious crime against the order and security of the Crown, you, Thomas Allen, are hereby condemned to be hanged by the neck until dead.
No! No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't. I'm innocent. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't.
Then I had him. All his yelling, all his screaming wouldn't do any good. I had him. All ready for my noose. Guilty. I wanted to go up and thank the judges. Gave me business, hanging business, devil's business. Why don't they hurry up and get here? I wouldn't have to think anymore. Knock on the door. I wouldn't have to think. Finger squeeze the trigger. Finished piece. I won't have to think. I wouldn't have to think what happened then, what happened after they said the boy was guilty. They put him in a cell, death cell, the door shut tight. And I stood and watched. They put him in a cell. 5 golden guineas in the cell. A few more weeks and he'd be mine to teach that dancing lesson on thin air.
So let's say you have to read an incredibly
long... I counted every day until they'd give him to me.
I truly...
I peeked along the corridor watching his cell.
the warden of the prison said.
Well, Sam, it certainly looks as if you're going to have another customer. I suppose you heard about it. The king refused young Allen's last appeal. He hangs in 2 more days. We'll try to make his going as easy as we can. I like the lad. Too bad about that letter, he says the girl wrote him. Well, no use talking about it. We've got to do our duty. Oh, by the way, you're going past the cell? Here. Here's some books of his. His landlady sent him. Thought he might like to read them while he had the time. Take them with you, Sam, and give them to him. It'll be his last time to read.
So I took the books along. Why not? Why not? Reading wouldn't save that neck. I started down the corridors with his books. Down the corridors toward the death cell. Something white fell out of one of his books, and I picked it up. It was a letter, and it read,
"Dear Tom, I told you I was going to kill myself, and now I'm going to do it. By the time you get this, the police ought to be accusing you of murder. Since undoubtedly all those people who heard us quarrel the other night will be testifying that you killed me. That's the main reason I'm sending you this letter, so that you will have some proof that the poison they'll find in me was self-administered. Forgive me. I'm just tired of living."
And it was her name signed to it, hers, that girl's. The one they said he'd killed. This was the letter. The letter he'd been yelling about. The letter he wanted to save his neck. But his neck belonged to me already. 5 guineas. I stuck the letter deeper in my pocket and just waited until the night. The warden.
Well, Sam, it looks as if we're going to have to go through with it. Now, I want everything done properly and no mistake. Going to have a large visitor's gallery. Very distinguished people. Say, and that reminds me, there's been some woman trying to see you all day. Some woman. Don't know who she is, Sam. She says she's got to see you.
Well, I wasn't seeing any woman, not that night. There was my work to do. See that everything was ready. The rope was ready. Everything perfect for a perfect hanging. It grew later and later. I could hear him in the death cell pleading with the minister.
Got to help me, sir. You've got to get the king. He's got to believe that I didn't kill her. I didn't. Oh, won't anyone believe me? She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter in which she said she killed herself. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, a letter. That was in my pocket, and there it was going to stay until it was all over. He couldn't live. He couldn't live now. I'd waited too long. It had been such a long time since they'd given me a good, strong neck to hang. They couldn't cheat me now. At last, it was the hour. They came for him in his cell. They led him down the corridor. And then they were marching him up the stairs to the gallows. In my hand. The boy looked up at me, his lips moved. He said,
"I tell you, I didn't do it. The letter. The letter."
Black hood over his head.
"The letter, I didn't kill her. The letter, I tell you, I didn't do it.
What happened?" His heart.
"This man is dead."
It was done. This man is dead. 5 golden guineas, the warden said.
"Good work, Sam. Broke his neck."
I went out into the street. I was walking home. I felt real good. 5 golden guineas. A woman came up to me and said,
"Are you Sam Jones?"
"Yes, that's me. What do you want? I haven't got time."
"You'll have time to listen to me, hangman."
"Who are you?"
"Look at me."
"Ellen."
"Yes, Ellen.
Wife."
"Wife no longer, hangman. Nor mother either."
"Eh?"
"No mother either, and you're the thing that's done it."
"Oh, wait, what?"
"I tried to reach you. I tried to tell you. They said you wouldn't see me. What could I do? What could I do? Your hand did it. Yours, hangman, yours."
"What are you talking about, woman? Why?"
"Tonight, Tom Allen. My maiden name was Allen. Don't you understand? You hung Tom Allen."
"Well, and so I did. What of it, woman? What of it?"
"Tom Allen, hangman, was your son."
"No.
Your son, you hear me, hangman? Your son, you hung your son, you hung your son, your son, you hung your son, your son, your son, you hung your..."
I began to run. Down the street, away from her, running, running. A man stepped out of the shadows. He stopped me. I couldn't see his face.
You killed my brother 7 years ago this night, Hangman.
I said, no. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I kept on running. A woman stopped me.
You killed my brother 7 years.
You hung my father, monster. You hung my father 11 years ago.
No. I said, no. Let me go. Let me go. I kept on running. They kept after me, yelling, screaming. I kept on running. Faster. New voices joined them. I looked back. The street was black with hundreds chasing me, yelling, screaming. I'd hung their sons, fathers, brothers. The street was black with them, I tell you, and every one of them akin to one of the 777 that had felt my rope. Chasing me. Hundreds of them yelling, screaming, after my life, wanting my blood. Hands outstretched like claws, to catch me, tear my flesh, and catch my eyes up. Running, looking, catch me, no! That's the way I did it. Slammed the door, lost the pack of them. Every one of them, wives and sons and brothers of the 777. But they'll find me. They're searching me out. Yes, they'll find me. That's why my finger's on the pistol. The mob won't get me. Funny mob they were. Without bodies, just heads of people chasing me and yelling. They won't get me. No, they won't. When they find me here, when they knock on that door, I'll kill myself. And they're here outside the door.
You won't get me. Not you. Yes, I hung your sons, husbands, killed your friends, lovers, but that's not all. I hung my son. You hear me? Hung my son for 5 guineas. Hung my son.
Yes. Come in, all of you, and see me die.
And you mean to say he yelled out for you to come in and then he shot himself?
Yes, sir. It's the ghost's truth. I knocked on the door. He yelled, come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die. And when I opened his door, bing, he did it.
And what were you banging on his door for this early in the morning? What were you after?
After nothing. I was looking for McDonald. This next house. I just knocked on the wrong door.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
It's an arrestable offense because we've decided that you can be arrested for certain things in areas that are designated high drug crime areas. It is not an arrestable offense on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That's a policy decision. We've made a decision that we are going to invest in black communities through the criminal justice system and in no other way. That's a decision. And so, you know, I mean, that don't mean that the officer, you know, shouldn't have got fired today as he would. That don't mean that at all. But if that's your standard, if that's the enemy, you're just going to keep coming back again and again and again. And you end up talking about individual officers, which, I mean, in its own way, it's actually a really conservative formulation of the question. Because it says if I can get more individual, moral, correct acting officers in place, then maybe we can fix this, as opposed to looking at entire systems.
Advancing the conversation to abolish racism for over 70 years. 94.1 KPFA. Lettucey.
It happens all the time like this. That one person will be right there. And she was just crying. All right. We were getting ready to sing. All right. I hadn't even got the words out. She was already in it. And her eye, she was not too far away, but I just had to tell her to come here. And I held her hand and sang. And I said, see, I had a bad day. I've been performing and I got it all out. and I forget what I do. See, you better remember.
Right.
This is why you're doing it. You belong here to do this. This is your calling, is to ignite something in people, to make them, let them know that they belong too. It's bigger than me. It always has been bigger than me.
KPFA, storytelling for social change.
This is KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, and 88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
It took some doing, but now it's time for some Ask Dr. Hal show live on radio. That's right, you'll never know what the Ask Dr. Hal show is going to be like, look like, or sound like, but now you can settle back, kick off your size 12s, and take a long, hard look at yourself for having the time to listen to this radio show, the Ask Dr. Hal show, with Puzzling Evidence, and K-Rob, and an entire host of non-entities who don't happen to be physically present. And so
here's
we're
Pete
going
Goldie.
To...
Here's well, Philo Drummond.
Well,
here's
we,
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, but Jerry, Pete, and Philo weren't able to attend tonight. Pete
fact,
is having
you know,
a banquet for the Benevolent
Philo's,
Order of Firemen.
Philo's in his last night of being at Disneyland.
The so happiest place on Earth.
He's living that music that we're listening to right now in his soul.
Yes, he's getting goofy with Donald and Mickey, Clarabelle, and all the rest. But here in the hallowed halls of Ask Dr. Hal, we're aspiring to a higher and lonely destiny.
And one neat thing is we're, 50 feet from where the live Dr. Hal show...
Used to be. Oh, we're getting a call now.
Right? No, it's not what the number is at all.
Now,
what is the number?
Well, there's a something.
Hey there, Pirate Cat. You're peaking. Your level.
Yeah, you're a bit.
Peaking.
You're a bit.
I'm terribly sorry. This is not.
Down.
Repeat, not the radio station you think it is. This is FCC
the
free radio. We are a pirate radio station, but are you certain that you're calling the one you intended to call?
Hey, thanks, Hal. You're on it, buddy.
Well, I'm a trying, but you know,
hey, this sounds like one of those point arena
people.
Even
when one gets on it, unless you drink
are
a big glass of water
behind. Are you on the computer or on the radio? Listening on the computer or the radio? Caller?
Well, he, whoa. I think he...
Oh, I'm not on yet.
Okay.
You're not?
No, they're not on yet. They're not even listening yet.
What? You're not listening?
No.
Well, but... What?
Is there a delay? Are you listening to us live? Can you see my lips move?
Hey, stop that. There's somebody watching. Well, I'm somewhat at sea here, at odds with understanding some of the technical aspects of the underwater radio show. That
I'm gonna, okay, tonight I'm going to be the guy on left-wing radio that's like, okay, everybody talk about me. I got to use that line tonight.
Yes, it's another political
talk
radio show with people in loud suits with loud voices yelling loud about the issues.
Yeah, Mike and my mic might be a little bit hot.
It's slightly improving, but you're overmodulating.
Yeah, I think our mics are just a little bit.
Smile when you say that part.
The music sounds good.
I'm not over anything.
Yeah, it's fuzzing out the top.
Fuzz, eh?
Yeah, I can hear it in my headphones. It's really
this is supposed to be unregulated radio.
It's like it's super boomy at the bottom end.
We're switching to classic rock. Anything
No,
stop. We're going to fix it all up as soon as
we draw sweet
refreshment from the bottom of the sound.
You don't make the necessary repairs. Oh, by the way, we have a series of questions here to ask you.
Okay,
well, that'll be good after we get started, but we're still putting on our slippers.
We're not hearing good questions on bad radio.
Bad.
We'll call it.
Well, it's bad, as in popular parlance, meaning good. Oh, well, there he went. It's difficult to hold a quorum.
It's the call that made the meters spike out, by the way.
Oh, the caller was doing it all the time. He was complaining about us. Well,
now that he's gone, we can talk about him.
Yeah.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Loud and lewd, but I'm just from the Piscean age. I'm not used to these global warming
fashions. Well,
tonight
at Gary's house, I said that you belong between 1890 and 1927, maybe.
Comfortable bookends.
And then she said, well, what do you talk about in your radio show? And thinking of that guy in the movie last night, I said, we just talk about me.
There's a movie last night?
There's this long pause. And she,
well, what movie were you watching that's all about
We were watching All About Me, Left of the Dial, which was the beginning of Air America.
Which
is unfair to beat up on guys just starting a radio station, but if you haven't seen it, you should. You would appreciate all of the madness.
Government flunkies.
Trying to start the government flunky station just like it's a monster FCC.
Well, we will mention the topic of monsters when we get to it, but some dangers might also best
the caller mentioned. Probably didn't even know that I got everybody here an hour late.
Well, the caller didn't know that, but if you've been waiting to listen to something besides the usual music feed, now perhaps that hunger can be assuaged with a delicious, crunchy morsel known as the on-air Ask Dr. Hal show. Yeah. Not to be confused with the live Ask Dr. Hal show or Ask Dr. Hal show 2.0. And stay tuned for a possible Ask Dr. Hal 3.0, although I'm not able to talk to Pete Goldie about it because he's not here. So I don't know what to do, but...
Pete Goldie, are you listening right now? Are you laughing?
No, he hung up. He's holding a big banquet for the impatient order of associated firemen and serial workers at his house. And that's about it for us. Because, you know, he can't do that and be here on the radio. I thought he knew we were planning to do this. I thought he cared, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, one must roll with the punches. And it's important to consider the question that a giant magnetic superflux in outer space could be dooming all life on Earth. Could, in fact, the most magnetic objects in the universe cause extinction on Earth? Later on, we may find out. Unfortunately, without Pete Goldie here, another thing I meant to ask him is the exact date of the upcoming bombardment of the moon.
Yes.
Because some of us are wondering if it'll happen while...
You should tell the audience what
that
is, because it's pretty exciting.
The assembled trembling hordes of folks are out in the Black Rock Desert clear sky.
I would bet they won't be able to see it because of all the light pollution that huge festival produces.
Maybe so, but they won't have an overdub of clouds and a low ceiling of drippy San Francisco fog raining on their Playa Parade. But, of course, it's a crapshoot. Hello.
Don't say hello.
Well, I already did. But
is
how...
my radio too loud?
See,
I hope not. I hope your radio is at an agreeable setting, which...
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Yes.
Wolfman Jack.
No, he died.
No, he's dead.
Can
he's
I hear
long
the
gone.
Jackson 5?
Yes.
You can hear them anytime you shut your eyes and concentrate on the inside
radio.
Of your eyelids. But I wouldn't mind
is it
five
on the radio
Jacksons.
Now too?
Is
but I don't
radio?
get a paper.
Hey, Pete says turn it up because the girls are talking too loud, okay?
Well, there's
okay.
some girl
okay.
who's talking and talking over
I
me.
Know,
I don't understand.
Can you tell us what kind of pajama bottoms you have on?
Am I going out? Today? Nobody seems to be hearing me.
11:11.
You're there. The little caller
why
is so intent
she
talking about pajamas.
I don't understand. Well, I'm if I'm on the
am
air
on
and
yet?
If I
am
getting out.
I'm ready for my close-up. Can I have my close-up now? I'm ready.
I'm afraid you're all too close. You're standing in the foreground and blocking everyone else, particularly me. But hey, that's the magic of radio that we try to bring to you.
Wait, am I on the radio
with the
now?
Latest
am I
scientific
no,
technology.
I gotta
you'll
go because I'm on the radio.
Understand
okay,
the new climate threat of melting Arctic permafrost, which
that's
threatens to
Goldie.
Bubble up from the frozen tundra and pollute the ecosphere even further. But we do
covenant?
Welcome callers. And now let's speak of the monstrous imbalances in nature and civilization which create so much grief for conscientious
souls. What's wrong with the mixing board again?
Well, I think someone's been a little mixed up who's been operating it. No, not you. But whoever left these previous settings as they were should have had his knuckles wrapped with a ruler by a stern nun.
I won't show you that horrible picture.
Well, this is radio, so...
Stop that!
It's not that horrible.
There you
actually.
Go.
It's just sort
See,
of odd.
Anything you say, it happens. But that's what radio is, yeah, is like. All we need to do is mention it, and there is the image in the mind. What is this strange twilight world between the pit of man's stomach and the summit of his own perspiration and embarrassing body sounds?
That's it.
There's the signpost up ahead, but I can't read it because I didn't bring my right glasses. Within the next 5 years, a new space telescope that Pete Goldie is unable to tell us about since he's not here will make the Hubble seem like some tattered alien remnant from the Dark Ages. Yeah, NASA and the European and Canadian space agencies plan to launch the James Webb Space Telescope into an orbit almost 1,000,000 miles from Earth. The telescope's mission will be to study every phase of cosmic development. Yes, I was thinking of the James Woods telescope, which is somewhat
really
more...
Really, the actor?
Well, he is an actor, but he's known on Earth for his pugnacity. And it's time that we started showing a united front to the aliens so that they don't get too uppity, if you know what I mean. We're going to take racism to an entirely new level as we tell mean-spirited jokes about Martians, those bone-dry monsters from another world, and Vinooks, inhabitants of our second planet, who you don't want moving in next to you, all super heated and just unsuited for daily life here in God's country. But can computer models explain the killer strength of a giant lizard?
Yeah, sure.
Some scientists believe they can. Oh, you seem to know that automatically. They can.
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess computer models can explain anything. Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage out, yeah.
But, you know, a combination of form and technique does give the Komodo dragon, the world's largest living lizard, its ferocious bite. Interest to me.
Better ears now.
Other delvers into the prehistoric past. Even within the time of
now
man.
Now you can spread us left, right. There you go.
Long after the extinction of
because I do that on my show because
Mesozoic
it helps differentiate a little
megafauna.
Bit. Now I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
The
I am the whipped cream.
Prehistoric giant lizard.
What? Okay, Rob, is
Megalania
well, that's,
attained
that
an
really
enormous
fast,
size. And, it makes the giant lizards of today look like little bitty lizards in comparison.
Ew.
Yes.
Look, oh, they like it.
Now, I don't know if you're following
on the belly.
Roman history, but the Emperor Tiberius actually had one of these things for a pet.
Wow.
Brought all the way to Rome where they loved exotic animals, and it was so exotic that they didn't even kill it. Tiberius's wingless dragon. Which was actually one of these lizards. Perhaps even a last surviving Sacania itself. Of course, we'll never know because of the destruction of records which occurred between the administration of Tiberius, Claudius, Germanicus Caesar, or whatever they called him, and Caligula, or Little Booties. Well, it may not seem surprising that Komodo dragons at up to 10 feet long and 300 pounds of solid lizard can take down big prey like pigs, deer, cattle, and even stupid, slow-moving people. But scientists say these dragons, native to the Indonesian island of Komodo and other nearby islands, you never hear about that, like these lizards also inhabit the island of Pulau Pulau Bompa. How come we don't call them Pulau Pulau Bompa dragons? Maybe we ought to, huh? Maybe we should stop this whole Komodo thing and, oh, well, we're getting a call. The moment you suggest something, but nobody did.
No, the Uyghurs went.
Hello, you're on the air. No. It sounds like a quorum.
I need to talk to K-Rob right away.
Here you go.
Oh, boy.
Put him on.
Hey, K-Rob, your levels are a little hot. You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk over here.
You know, I've heard it said that these levels
crazy.
Are actually only hot because of callers.
It's like it's vibrating from all directions.
Yeah, I think the mic's
magic.
The levels are peaking.
Well, let's just turn it down. Can't we pot it down?
Can you hear what I'm saying?
You can hear.
They put duct tape on
the They've duct taped them into the current.
Yeah.
They've duct taped the levels into this. We have to sever the tape.
I'm not sure.
It's true. look at the well, you can't look at the board, but they've fastened.
And you're listening it over the air.
Wow,
right?
Now there's a terrible loop going on.
That's awful. I'm awfully sorry. We're just trying to
set
things
up.
I can hear
see?
You.
Can you feel?
I can hear you.
Is it a 25?
Unless you answer me, I cannot know or tell whether you're hearing me. He's not even
answering. Kind of romantic.
I've got a dawn for you.
The last caller couldn't hear me either. Are you sure
Does
I'm going in?
Does my aluminum hat look all right?
You're there. You're quite clear.
To go with my panties, okay?
Okay, there she is talking about her panties.
Her panties okay. Is that
you
say
come
that,
over
you say that that's like a bad
foil.
Thing.
Sarah has aluminum foil.
Okay.
We got you covered, baby.
We got the
aluminium.
Hash. I really feel.
So
I can,
now put the aluminum foil around your hat, your head.
I feel deep.
The pyramid.
Yeah.
That you're
Make
wearing
a little pyramid and wear it.
Man.
Sugar death pajama bottom.
Ancient Egypt. That's
now the cool man from Uncle Music is washing your brain.
Okay, while your brain is washed, we'll depart from the subject of giant lizards, which I was about to get into, and talk about what you'd like to hear on our show, because the show is really not about us. It's about you, about what you'd like to hear.
I'm putting myself on the radio, Mr. DeMille. I'm ready for my voiceover.
Your voice
Something's
is going out over,
me.
Over the radio.
Something's gotten into me.
Oh,
would it
no.
be a,
I don't know what it is.
A scuttling insect.
But it's probably FCC for
I'm ready
radio.
For my
Do a commercial.
Close up.
Well,
Mr.
you are
FCC
close.
Free
in fact,
radio.
Please give some acknowledgement
Hal,
that you hear what
up.
I'm saying.
Can you hear Hal?
There, she did in her own way.
She just thinks it's funny. She just
yeah.
thinks it's funny.
I've got to tell you, this isn't the way to get on the best side of the Ask Dr. Hal show, but,
Do you have a question for, you know?
Yeah, what about
you know,
a question?
It's like you're the live show. I met a young lady recently who came to your show and asked you a question.
And what was her reaction?
She told me that. Well, she said you sidestepped her question.
Beer at this point.
What were you talking about? Well, this
we're talking about the question
really
you should be asking Hal right now.
I tried to talk about pulsars and magnetars. Then I tried to talk about the computer models explaining the killer strength of the world's largest living lizard.
We've got all the boys on one side of the room and
I'm
all
the guy
girls
in the movie.
On the other side of the room.
And the square dance is going to start
We've
any moment.
We've decided that's the natural way of things.
Well, they say boy, girl, boy, girl. That's the way the host is supposed to seat his guests.
All you want to me, I can't hear anything you're saying. I can't hear anything I'm saying. I just have this terrible, horrible, laughing, giggling, clucking sound. Going
Why
on
don't you
all
carry
around.
Your cellulite phone into the next room, and then you'll be able to communicate in concord without discord.
You have to have a knob to fix this.
And in San Francisco, without disco.
There'll be some adjustment, some level, some...
I
some
tell you,
thing, you can, some resistance,
gremlins
you can,
have
you can,
fastened all the switches shot, into their place with duct tape, and
make,
it's impossible
it
to adjust
less.
Them.
The thing is that the levels are really low on the board. I don't know.
We say the levels are low. You say the levels are high.
I
Who
have,
are we?
You know what it reminds me
of?
It's like too much bass. That's the
tone.
Simplest, stupid thing.
Too much
but,
bass
but
and ignoble broadcast.
Observation. I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, over here.
I don't understand this.
If well, you were listening on headphones, you can tell.
I make some more requests.
But it bothers me that the listeners, whichever and whoever they may be,
yeah, they're faking
free
it.
Radio.
Why? They're hearing.
Now it's sneaking in all the time.
Or not enough.
It's a scorching hot day.
Let's just start
just
acting like the monkeys, you know, jumping around,
I get up and work
wearing fireman shirts from Boston.
Well, here we are, you know, and we're... only a few minutes into the show, and already the callers are...
Where did you get that?
Private
I have a question.
Part. All right.
Well, where did that clock come from? Where did your watch come from?
It was originally. Given to me by my parents.
Oh, okay.
So well, I don't know where they got it.
What?
Perhaps some jeweler in Arizona
I'd
where
like
I live
to
at the time.
About your shoe size.
Oh, just because I showed you my grandmother's and...
Because, you know, shoe size is related
it's
to ring
to
size.
Know where those things come from.
Yeah.
And with a larger ring...
You know what that means.
Well, it costs more.
With this ring, IV telephone.
Uh-oh.
San Francisco's alternative radio for an alternative culture. Hordes of callers are now besieging the station.
Oh, look outside. There are hundreds of callers.
And they've got torches and pitchforks, too.
Oh, I don't think they like
it. We don't want to let them in here.
Oops. Oh, sorry.
Just
I was looking at the wrong
that's
side.
That's right. Wave at them. Just wave.
Oh, hi. Hi. Oh, yeah, that works. Look, they're like zombies.
Okay, zombies we don't need. In fact, that is a good description.
Give me a zombie hug
of the rest. No, thank you. What happened to this? This is not... no, that's it's, not it.
It's the now I'm going to send Hal a shrub, and then
well,
I'm going
it's
to.
Well, what we're hearing is music composed by Laurie Johnson for Dr. Strangelove, not lovable Tex Avery cartoon music, which is supposed to be.
Didn't you guys play the cartoon at the start of the show?
Here it comes. A wacky cartoon from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Slap Happy Rutabaga. Let's settle back and watch it.
I think there's someone there.
Oh, but it's on God, YouTube, so it should
someone
hang
where?
Up every once in a while.
Can you hear me? I don't think they can hear me. Mm-hmm. Really, I honestly
them.
Do.
Mm-hmm.
No one answers me directly.
When radio comes marching home. Hey, you guys, don't listen to Hal, okay?
I wanted to tell you about my new shoes.
Shoes?
Issues. I think she's talking about her issues.
Issues and answers.
She doesn't hear anybody. She doesn't hear me.
But, you know, even the most fashionable pair of shoes will not protect you from the toxic bite of a giant lizard, Varanus komodoensis.
It always comes back to the damn Komodo dragon.
Well, we're trying to keep the show on an even keel.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, but can you hear us?
Yeah, you can hear Bob
no
Dobbs.
Answer.
Everybody
I
can hear Bob Dobbs.
I don't think they can hear, honestly. Try turning that little silver knob over there. Yeah, that might do it.
Sometimes the station goes into these weird loops.
I got black shoes. Yeah.
Loop station?
They're comfy.
Cool, loop station.
They're not sexy, but they're comfy.
The other man made a mention of loops. What do you mean loops? You're talking about a real thing?
Because I am comfortable with my sex. Or sexy with my comfort.
Oh, yeah.
Am I going out at all?
I don't know.
You just need a little radio, right?
It would be nice if somebody would acknowledge that I'm here, so I know
it.
Can anybody hear me?
Hey, Rob, is this the end?
Well, these other girls got heels.
See, they're not answering. They're talking about shoes. So I don't think this is even working.
No, those girls are walking on the shoes. This one girl was like walking in her shoes. She had one heel on and one heel off. And the heel that was off, her toe was completely pointed in the shape of a heel. It was like as if her foot never stopped moving in that direction. It was like, I'm in a heel, but I'm barefoot.
Well, I'm also a heel and underfoot, so I wish you would have some sympathy with me in the situation that I'm in. So we have a bunch of drunks.
Sarah's new shoes are really hot. You should check them out next time. You should ask her about them. And
I suppose we could always cut
them. You know, we would get you other callers, but we're the only ones listening to the show right now.
Caller,
so
can you hear me?
You're not happy with us as listeners and callers to your show. We'll try and do better.
Could you answer and let me know if you're hearing me?
Maybe if you tell us what color your underwear are, we would be better
just
callers.
Just cut them off. Sorry, folks, I'm not even certain that I am being heard, but the callers were very uncooperative, and we have to know whether or not this is actually going out over the air. I suppose it is always possible to return to the subject of giant lizards of the Antipodes. But before I do, we're going to try one other technical trick from our bottomless bag of tricks to make sure that this is going out, even if such callers as deign to call us will not give us this piece of essential information. And it's possible we could get a call from somewhere else. It may seem that chaos is the liquid medium in which we swim, but in fact, if we could get into a different pond, it wouldn't bother this cross obturation one iota. So we know that Big Pete Goldie will be out in his backyard with his telescope when the moon is struck by Earth's sinister dagger glow. And he is benefiting from the accumulated mountain of scientific information on which he stands, all the way back to early pioneers of optics, and even Sir Isaac Newton himself, who built the telescope which he holds in this famous picture. Here's a
now people, you know, have
calling?
To be able to hear you because they were complaining about the.
I'm so nervous.
Okay, just calm down. Ask
someone.
Ask Hal how to calm down.
Can you hear me? That's what I want to know. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's the Pete Goldie Show. Hey, folks.
All right, they're not hearing me, so cut them off. Let's see if we can get somebody else to call. Early optics, telescopes, Newton. I was somewhere with that. Then the drunks came cascading in. There we go. Look at them scurrying around trying to build the first major telescope in the 17th century like a bunch of ants. In 1668, they discovered a new way to gather light. And what did they do with it? They looked out at the heavens. And what did they see after Isaac Newton finally found a way to correct chromatic aberration and replace the objective lens with a mirror that reflected light instead of refracting it? This technology is in Pete Goldie's telescope and will help him see the mortal wounding of our satellite, the moon, in just a few days.
Well, they're going to blow up the moon. I saw it last night. I saw the news report.
Yes, even though we have determined that there are no weapons of mass destruction there, it does seem as if old Selene, our heavenly partner, will take a major hit.
That almost sounds like it's a music machine playing that, is it? That Beatles song?
Boy, you said a mouthful. And in 1962, with the advent of the orbiting telescope, beginning with the British Ariel 1, astronomy entered a new era. Placing a telescope in space gave astronomers a view of the heavens unobstructed by the atmosphere, which keeps Pete Goldie from seeing the farthest reaches of the cosmos. Today, several telescopes orbit the planet, the most famous of which is NASA's Hubble Space Telescope.
Launched into orbit in 1990, Hubble circles 350 miles above the planet, observing visible ultraviolet and infrared light beaming from the universe with its 94-inch primary mirror.
Space.
Must be able to hear us because they were complaining about the levels earlier. So
they're complaining though. No one acknowledges what I say, so
yeah,
that
know,
makes
I
me
know.
Think
or
my anyone, mic so. Is. You know, I'm quite willing to let them be on, but not if they're going to go on and not answer me. That's the problem, or a problem.
Let's talk.
But
about
there's
me.
No problem that can't be surmounted. A man who's not afraid to set his sights upon the summit is a
but
man whose time has
right
come.
Now. They're so in their apartment.
We'll
there they are. They're partying because
we'll
of this
okay,
show.
Okay,
overcome.
So like, Cal, this doesn't seem like a really maybe unusual question, but I want to know what's the worst, sore that you've ever found on your genital area?
Well,
I
can answer
one
that.
That would like to know.
I can answer that, but I'd like you to answer me first to make sure that, so I can make sure that I am actually being heard. Will you give me some sense that what I'm saying now is something you can respond to?
What's that?
There, she's hearing something. Can you hear me? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, very good. The last sore I had on my genitals was the result of a medical condition known as...
Wait, it's too loud in here. Hang on, I'm going to another space.
You missed the answer. Okay,
I'm
next question.
Calling from a bar. And
so
I've been
you're
listening
that's
on
why
my
the noise.
Friend's
yeah,
radio. Hang on.
You had your radio
Let me
up really
be more
loud.
Private. Okay,
so the entire bar is
right.
about to hear about
I was talking
did.
About the world's largest living lizard, or the most
oh, yeah,
large lizard
his,
that was recently extinct in the general area of lacertism, or lizard science. This was the Megalania, a prehistoric monster from the Antipodean land.
Prehistoric monsters? Wait, you've had a prehistoric monster in your genital school area?
Yep.
Actually, I did not. You are conflating two different streams of answers into one, and in doing so, in an act of signal creativity, entertaining our audience far more than any poor power which it may be mine to command. But let me skip back to your earlier question.
Oh, that's fabulous. I like that. I like entertaining your vast audience of callers.
That's good. I hope they're paying attention.
No, Mary.
Now, tell me which you would like me to follow, the genital question or the prehistoric lizard controversy?
Wait, what makes you more comfortable, Hal?
Well, what makes me comfortable is giving satisfaction to this army of callers besieging us now.
Give me an extreme description of the worst genital sore you've ever had.
Well, I was answering that before, and I'll gladly skip back to that answer. I don't know if you've ever heard of a medical condition known as balanitis. Have you?
No, I have not heard of that.
Balanitis mocks the symptoms of some of the more virulent sexually transmitted diseases.
Is it related to staph at all?
No,
what it actually is no, not ballarditis. This is balanitis. Frankly, yes, I did have that. And frankly, I was quite worried about it, so I went to the doctors as soon as I could find one that would treat poor folks like myself, and he told me, you don't have to worry about that at all. Go to Walgreens and get a little tube of this stuff here and rub it on, and it'll all disappear. But there's some bad news. Some bad news that you're going to have to take. So I want you to sit down. Are you sitting down? Okay.
Wait. Yes, I'm sitting down, but I want to know, how long did you have to rub this ointment on the genital sore?
Well, that was the fun part. The bad part was hearing what they told me. You see, they said that people who have this don't actually have a sexually transmitted disease, and their private parts are perfectly all right. But what is bad about it is that only diabetics have this happen. This is the way your body says, hey, stop messing around. You've got diabetes. And that was how I discovered that I, myself, was one of the sad sufferers of type 2 diabetes,
you know what?
Which
my
I still have unto this day. All right, put your girlfriend on, and I will try not to put her on if you follow me. Here in the studio with Puzzling Evidence of the Puzzling Evidence radio program and K-Rob.
They're having a big giggle party.
Well, they can giggle. We're stuck here in the studio while they giggle.
So our next question is, we want to know if you can take this from booze.
The music's all creamy.
From whose?
Yes.
You want to know if you can get pregnant from...
Yes.
From what?
Booze.
It's drinking, yeah.
Booze. From drinking. Well, it can help, but it cannot impregnate you in and of itself. Any suggestion that it is a mere chimera set up by thin-lipped anhedonic moralists to try to dissuade you from having fun. According to the Dr. Hal Show, you should drink as much as makes you happy and not a drop further. Well, let's hope there are some other questions and perhaps even this booze-ridden party inhabited by rum-soaked reprobates and sodden tosspots will come to its senses and ask questions about matters of great concern
about Johnny Depp.
To the community. What happened to him? Johnny Depp?
You know, what happened?
Oh, well, he's not interesting. He's a movie star.
Captain Weird or something.
Yeah.
What are you speaking of? Perhaps you'd care to enlighten our listeners with an extension of that comment.
Just something I saw while waiting for a movie at the Metreon.
Captain Weird, eh?
Yeah.
That seems highly...
I'm not trying to be Captain Weird. I'm just me, Johnny Depp.
Oh, it's a movie about Johnny Depp. Well, that...
In a universe where Michael Jackson is still dead.
Yeah. Michael Jackson is dead. Now he belongs to the ages. He shall have no giant tomb as the Pharaoh Cheops did.
They really were mean when they wouldn't let him put his giant tomb at the Neverland. I thought that would be so
Well, perfect. I guess it's not zoned to bury...
Yeah, that's... Although, then, just a few days ago, I haven't hit the article yet, but the New York Times had a front page under the fold article about many people are burying old grandpa at home now.
It's highly illegal. Even to bury a little dog in your friend's backyard can get the entire anger of the law in its full majesty coming down on your head. So, of course, we and no one we know would ever do that.
Right.
But you may be aware that King Tut, who everybody thinks is such a big cheese because he's got a show over in the park, which is too expensive for most people I know to go to, they may think he was important in Egyptian history, but the fact is he's there with all his stuff because he was utterly unimportant and nobody even thought to rifle his tomb and rummage through his drawers. But, well, his stuff is over there in the museum. He can't
use it.
I know.
I keep meaning to go over and see his stuff.
It costs a pretty penny. But there was something weird about King Tut and about his immediate predecessor, the heretical pharaoh Akhenaten, who wanted to abolish the entire Egyptian pantheon and take up the worship of the sun as the one true God. Well, but the Egyptian religion was also somewhat astronomy-based, but they took this sun thing too far. Now, between Akhenaten's New Age rule and the incredibly militaristic rule of Pharaoh Horemheb, played by Victor Mature in the movie, who went to war with the Hittites and exchanged the bronze sword of the Egyptians for the iron sword of those bearded guys with the hooked noses and the tall caps, King Tut's absolutely inoffensive rule took place. And he and his father seem to have had sort of feminine figures for men. What is up with that? What is the explanation of Pharaoh's feminine figure?
Are you saying it's kind of like Corporal McKenzie's wife?
Well, genetic disorders may have caused this ruler's unusual physique. You see,
hey, Hal?
Yes?
I need to know, if you could shove a denomination of money, what would you choose? What denomination?
Filthy lucre.
Mm-hmm.
And would be rendered... It would be rendered more so. You know, now, if you will think about this question logically, the answer nestles within it, as so often in those envelopes which come to my desk. Yes, I hardly need to come up with an answer, because the answer is right there.
What coin would you prefer?
Coins? Oh, you were speaking of paper money.
The coin is different. What roll of coin would you prefer?
Lilliputian money. Sprugs.
Oh, pennies?
No.
Dimes. No, dimes.
No.
I think dimes are smaller.
No, the Empire of Lilliput.
Or would you choose Euro?
Had its own coinage. And they used sprugs.
90 miles north of
a Lilliputian sprug is tiny. In fact, it's difficult to pick up. It's so small. There were a race of 6-inch high people, you know. I would only permit their money to...
Is it smaller than the head of a pin?
Maybe about that size, depending on...
I've never seen Lilliputian money, and I need
That's
to know.
Because you'd have to go to the Empire of Lilliput to see it, and it may not exist anymore. You see, they were in a long war with the nearby Empire of Blefuscu, another land inhabited by 6-inch-high folks, and had exhausted their... treasury in genocidal war and laid waste to the countryside. And it was at this time when they were invaded by the giants.
I need a theme for my next question. Give me a theme for my next question.
Well, how
about... What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to be listened to.
Dinosaurs, probably.
In particular. More than I'd just like to spin my wheels. To be able to finish an answer and explain myself is the greatest felicity. But by that same token... The most painful and irritation-producing phenomenon is to be perpetually interrupted and never to be allowed to come to a conclusion.
Okay.
Conversation
is interrupted. Let me pause. I'm going to hang up. I'm going
to
pause for a second.
Oh, you don't need to
hang up.
Question,
okay?
I like to hang up.
All right.
All right.
I'm thinking about you the whole time.
Well, that's good.
Right,
she went
there.
Into my other earphone.
Wow,
that's
that
great.
Was cool.
She's in stereo. You know,
no,
it's
she's
good
in her own
to have.
She is me show. She's
I was
me
going
show.
To speak of the strange femininity of the Egyptian pharaonic line, but instead of that, or talking
Wait,
about
no, let's
the
get back
extinct
to the,
giant lizards
the girlish
of the
figures
southern
of
continents.
Tut and Dad and Tut. No.
Well,
I can't remember his name.
The relation of Tut and Akhenaten was not the relation of son to father. Let's not put out this false information on the Ask Dr. Hal show. No, no, no. The Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten's voluptuous body shape and elongated head and neck...
Are we sinking?
...have long perplexed historians, yes, yes. But now a theory has popped out that Akhenaten may have suffered from two genetic disorders that affect body shape. Yes, he was pictured as having prominent breasts and buttocks. Wow. Indications of a hormone disorder, an overproduction of the enzyme aromatase, which is instrumental in the body's production of the hormone estrogen, is the likely culprit. So I'm glad we've settled that. Now we're going to be able to move on to... Oh, yeah.
But I did want to fill in about Corporal McKenzie's wife, who he was a 7th Cavalry trooper.
Yes.
Who, about 2 years after the battle, after living through all that nightmare
we're
up on Reno's
Hill...
We're
talking about Custer's last stand.
He discovered that his wife was a man.
Yeah, I read about him. In fact, he discovered that his wife was a man after she died, and they examined her and said... What are you doing here, Corporal? Your wife was a man. And it so freaked him out that his wife was a man after all these years that he didn't last very much.
No, he went outside and shot himself.
He shot himself.
Like, that was the moment of like,
I was married to a man?
Yeah, that's
here,
pretty nasty.
Take my revolver. I think you know what is expected of you.
Yes, exactly. Only a gentleman would have to...
Yes,
finish,
ladies and gentlemen, the subject of sex has once again reared its spotted head.
So don't think about the Mikado now or any of those tales about the same thing. I love those little tales.
No kidding. Paintings and statues of Akhenaten suggest
hands.
That he suffered from genetic diseases.
Oh, you would... And I was telling K-Rob about... Oh, sorry.
Well, I just wanted to say, concluding with King Tut one more time, that they did do a CAT scan of King Tut's skull. And what do you think they found? Abnormal head shape. Similar to that of the mystic pharaoh Akhenaten.
Actually, so, cat is one of the few words you can't say on
is
station.
He,
Oh, but it was not a...
pirate
a,
and cat.
Oh, there
and,
he is. Stop it. There he went. He went and did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Not on my watch. I've got...
Cal?
Yes?
Are you there?
She's all
yes,
sexy.
I am. Can you hear me?
Cal?
Sexy.
Can you hear me?
Wow.
Can you hear me?
I can't really hear you, but I can hear you.
Well, that's too bad. I wish you actually could hear me. Then I could tell you what song the sirens sang, or the name Achilles used when he hid himself among women.
Did you bathe with oil?
Sexy.
You know, I'm having a little bit of trouble because the plumbing has been disconnected.
I know, I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
I finally now know I can't hear you.
You can or cannot?
Wait.
Yes, there is no bath service where I live.
Say it again?
Impossible to bathe because
you're cold water. You're a little effusive.
Well, then turn
you're
me
so
up.
Tiny.
Turn me up. Help the bombardier. Help him. Turn me up. Now, did anything turn up?
Why don't you tell me this? If you can hear me, which I think you can.
I can hear you, but I need to know whether you can hear me.
Okay, so I hear you. Oh, you're getting louder.
You
better.
Do hear me. Very well.
No
I am at I am at your
you
service.
A bath service.
A bath service?
No bath service here, ma'am. Only good service.
People.
I need a bath attendant, and if you are volunteering for that service, that can be readily arranged. But remember, whether we're dealing with giant fish known as groupies
like
or groupers.
I'm going to go stand in the bark station. Maybe I'll hear you over there.
All right. I hope that it's that which has to do with your inability to hear us and speak clearly and cleanly. Well, good. Let's do it then. So no one comes in to follow us. There isn't the knitting show
no
or the sculpting
yeah.
with
yeah, the
plasticine show.
That would be great.
You know, all that stuff. That
That would be so great. Little...
But the furball show is pretty fun.
Have you ever seen that huge-mouthed fish known as a grouper?
Are they related to the remoras?
Vaguely, distantly. But actually...
Oh, just their mouth, yeah.
They're a giant... The remora's mouth is a suction cup, but the grouper's is a huge, vast cavern full of sharp stalagmitous teeth that you don't want nibbling at you. And believe me, they might try it. In fact, Buzzling Evidence had an amusing story about some friends of his
right,
who were skin diving and they took some mushrooms and then they landed right on top of two large irate groupers. Sex,
yep.
Who then turned around and nibbled at them.
A little humid. They bit him like
they
a
nibbled,
dog.
Did they bite anything
they
off?
They just bit his legs like a dog. And he before I could get
it's
in, I was about to jump in the water. He was back on the rafts screaming that he was being bitten. I'm thinking, what? You're in like... 2 feet of water.
That was the last bath you had? That was the one?
No, that is
bath.
What can happen when you bathe, but it's not what always
happens. If there are groupers in your bathtub, that's what happens.
You have to keep it fairly filled, so they actually have room to maneuver since they are large. Larger in some cases than a human.
Tunas and groupers and the whole family are gigantic.
But more than 130 fish species feed off parasites living on other fish, and groupers are no exception because they have these teensy tiny fish to come in and clean all the sludge out of their mouths.
See, now, exactly. Right now, Robert's playing big pictures of those on the wall.
Scientists at the University of East Anglia in England found that Caribbean gobies actually show a preference for predators over herbivores. They initiate more interactions with predators, and they don't make them wait as long, which is convenient for toothed meat-eaters like groupers, as if they're completely harmless, swimming right into their mouths. Why predator fish don't feast on these morsels remains a mystery. Well, we're talking about ease and pleasure, so sex is never far away from that.
That's true.
These groupers did bite Puzzling Evidence's friends because they were trying to have sex when the tripping hipsters jumped off the boat right on top of them, if you didn't understand that aspect of the story. But now we've moved on to another topic, and before we launch into it, perhaps you do have another question for us here on the Ask Dr. Hal Show.
The tripping hipster, is that the question?
Well, it could be if you want to ask a question about such a person.
Think of being a tripping hipster.
You're not really a tripping hipster, though.
What about a tripping
then
hipster?
Your hat wigs
out. You're too smart to be hipster.
Well, look, I'm telling a story. See, you don't understand. You're not getting the entire picture. We're trying to show glowing colors, the representation of life itself.
So here on the Hal Show, you can call and ask questions all sexy night.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, this is the Hal Show.
Yeah, it is the Hal Show.
You didn't know.
What did you think you were listening to?
This is the Ask Dr. Hal Show.
No, this is not the Puzzling Evidence Show.
Oh, well, you...
Please listen to us then.
And this show is going to 5 a.m. here on not...
Well, that's a little bit of stretching it.
So how many hours will this show be?
Drawing the long bow.
As long as these guys want...
But even so, time is precious.
Yeah, I was really sad there wasn't a Hal Show tonight.
You were sad there wasn't a Hal Show?
I was also sad that there wasn't a Hal Show.
Well, you can. You don't ask questions? Why?
But I listen.
Why don't you ask?
It's a great opportunity.
Because I don't ask more questions.
I hope you're not one of those people who are
always embarrassed,
too modest to be seen coming up.
I only asked because I bathed with you once and it was so nice.
And under what, where was that we had this mutual bath?
It was in, outside in the sky somewhere.
Oh, I know. Yeah, okay, right. I remember that. Yeah. Well, it looks like nobody was offering to bathe you, so I volunteered. Yeah. So, we were...
So anyway, thanks for talking to me, and I look forward to the next Hal Show.
Next
Thursday night.
Yes. Well, there will be a show Thursday night or Friday morning. There also may be a show Wednesday night. We are utterly unable to say. But it is important that you try to follow our strangled, tormented animadversions. Otherwise, it's very difficult to tune in and be
that is really strange,
a part
all
of
right.
the broadcast.
Have fun, you guys.
Okay, thank you.
What was that?
That was a nice
satellite tone meant we were being taped by the aliens.
Oh,
they
those
still
aliens
use tape. It's
just
really
don't. That,
I think that was an incoming call.
Incoming!
Oh, really? That's your...
Hello, you're on the air. You may speak as foully as you wish here FCC-free radio.
It's kind of exciting me that you talked this.
Stop it. You're getting Puzzling Evidence all hot and bothered with your stream of non-standard English here. You know, you can use...
So what are you going to do about it?
You can say any bad word that you like, because we are free of society's troublesome laws and regulations. And it's on us. All over us. We'll have to take a bath after it's over.
Let me have my secretary talk to you. One moment.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, can we talk to your secretary?
I affirm she's not a stalker, because I'm here with her watching her, and if I wasn't watching her, she'd be stalking you.
But her eyes are on stalks, as I understand.
Seeing her...
Yeah,
stalking you because I see
if
her.
If you can focus up, I think I can see her
in her stalking feet.
Yeah, they're right there.
That's her, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
how many stalkers do you have?
We just little cameras, little spiders out there.
Quite a few, actually. I don't consider it a crime, as many people do, but it's strange how the popular consensus has changed in the past. In ancient Egypt, it would have been different. For then, curiosity about the ruling dynasty, the royal family, could be considered blasphemy and punished by the military arm of the state.
Do you have your show script with you?
The Warriors of Horemheb.
We're on page 43.
He was formerly a captain of the palace guard. Indeed,
yeah,
it was said
script.
That he came from a low status in life, but later was elevated to the status of a living god,
and there's
Pharaoh,
the living god
of Egypt.
Yeah, there he is.
But, of course, there is no monument or pyramid
to mark. They might be confused. The guy you're looking at where you are is Victor Mature, but we actually see the god himself. So.
Suggested for mature audiences.
Would you have another question?
Please, ask it now.
Can I just smoke some of this?
Yes, sure. Hand it over.
Yeah.
That'll calm me down. What is this, anyway?
What?
Should I just smoke it? All right.
Is anybody there?
No.
There.
It sounds like I'm in heaven.
You are, my dear sir. You are in heaven.
I'm
in heaven.
Stentorian
everything
place
is fine.
Friendly, remote sense.
Can you hear the angel wings?
Pretty violins.
Angel wings carry you far. Heard the rustle of the wings of the angel of death.
I realized now was the time to
stop. I knew it was time to cut out the booze.
Are you listening to me, caller? Are you really listening?
Well, Al, you sound kind of big and furry. You sound like a big, friendly, furry guy.
Well, I try. Oh, oops. Well, I guess we're going to break a lot of records here in the studio today.
It just happens.
Are you cutting me off?
No, I'm not.
Are you nervous?
I'm not cutting a thing. Everything is included. And we are going to record this for posterity and have it sealed in a block of adamantium.
That was my question. Is it being recorded somewhere?
Yes, it is. Is it not, K-Rob? It is, isn't it? K-Rob's doing it, isn't he?
Carbonite
recording this show.
Latex.
Yes. Yes, the show is being recorded. Yes.
Too much latex when there's many men involved.
That's
Ajax?
What I'm saying. We're just guys. There are no good guys, no bad guys. We're just guys.
And, you know, big, tall guys. And
we got tall guys. We got furry guys. But what's your point? This is ordinary variety here. Human variety.
Well, I think I just called because I needed someone to talk to. It's only been a couple of days since I've been out of prison.
Hmm.
And you just seem like such a very secure lot, you know?
Stone
like,
walls do not a prison make,
with your manhood.
Or iron bars a cage.
You are comfortable with your manhood, aren't you?
Lives, let me shift it to my other pants leg. Lives, innocent and quiet, take that for an hermitage.
Sexy body.
So
yes, do you dress right or dress left? Look,
come on,
I'm
just talking about brotherly love, brother.
Yes, here on the radio, no subject is less than sacrosanct. So what is your question? Our format is a question and answer.
Oh, the question is, why is it damp things are darker than non-damp things?
You know, we've had that before. Why is it? Because of a little-known phenomenon called capillary attraction. You see, water molecules not only bind themselves to each other, but the substances which they permeate and inhabit. In this case, your soiled underwear.
Right.
When it is wet, it naturally turns to be
darker. I gotta go, man. I can't be talking
Thank
to you.
You
I
gotta go. For your question.
And the cool part is the parole officer is the foul-mouthed young lady that called before.
Boy, I wish I could luck out that way, except I would choose one whose vocabulary was slightly less limited. But the Pharaoh Akhenaten, who ruled from 1353 to 1336 B.C., that is always shown as having those prominent tits and ass, which is that indication of the hormone disorder that the royal family of Egypt had. Something that you get from inbreeding. Oh, what is this?
Hello
my
there.
God, a giant
Hi
spider.
There. This
horrible.
Is Pete Goldie.
Crawling forward. A Pete Goldie? Okay, cue the spider.
Hi, Hal. How's it going?
We're having a little bit of
arachnid. If you're really
trouble,
Pete Goldie, then what's the date of the moon crash landing?
We all want
pad?
To know, and we were hoping you'd be here so you could tell us
L-Cross.
When the moon is going to be struck. What is the date?
Well, all I know is that we can and will destroy the moon.
Yeah, but
this
when is it going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
When?
It's, oh, no, no.
It's
there's,
high time we blow
nothing
up
to worry
the
about.
Moon.
This has all been arranged. We
if
will handle
you
this.
Don't know
don't
about
worry
it,
that.
Then
but I do have one question for you in these last minutes.
Oh, it's not
do you
the
have
last
a phone
minute.
For us?
We're going to go on and on. So it's not the
There's
last
no limit to this?
No, there is a limit.
It will stop at 12:55. But now here comes a cascade of obligatory crap that we must play according to certain...
No, we laugh like this.
We go on an extra hour.
We're going on an extra hour, but aren't we supposed to play a million PSAs and
question.
Announcements at this
time? So you're not the real Pete Goldie. He would
well,
have proudly
okay, we won't then. I
the
thought, well, wait, we don't have to do it for a couple of minutes yet.
Oh, yeah,
you were pulling my leg. Boy, I
Channels
fell for
13
it.
The and 14.
Oldest trick in the book.
Blow him up.
Let's see if Pete Goldie is still there.
Well, I always enjoy a nice poem said by you.
FCC-free radio.
Do I have a chance
radio?
To say one in the next 3.5 minutes or however long it
you
is before all
the
yak comes on?
Well, the other option is if the show is continuing to
it will
do it at the top of the hour. But
exactly.
I don't know how the technology works there. But anyway, yes,
I
we'd love to hear anything you want to fit in at any
this
time.
This is so much like the live
show.
I'll
tell you, the show that we're in control, why don't I could do that, and then out of sequence we could play all the obligatory... well, I just don't know what to say, so I'll say one.
Very good, bye.
Now, here we go.
He just flushed Pete Goldie down the toilet.
I saw him once before as he passed by the door, and again the evening pavement stones resound as he totters o'er the ground with his cane. They say that in his prime, ere the pruning knife of time cut him down, that no finer man was found by the crier in his round through the town. My grandmama once said, poor old lady, she was dead long ago, that he had a Roman nose, and his cheek was like the rose in the snow. But now his nose is thin, and it rests upon his chin like a staff, and a crick is in his back, and a melancholy crack in his laugh. The mossy marbles rest on the lips that he had pressed in their bloom, and the names he loved to hear have been carved for many a year on the tomb. I know it is a sin for me to sit and grin at him here, but the old three-cornered hat and the breeches and all that seem so queer. And if I should live to be the last leaf on the tree in the spring, let them smile as I do now at the old forsaken bough where I cling. Or I could just give up and be a fat guy in a t-shirt the way apparently a lot of people want me to be. Well, now that we have said a little poem and here we go with the cloud of claptrap, which radio necessitates us playing. After it's through, we'll be back with more of the type of entertainment that you, the listener, crave and must have. Yes, this is all
the
possible.
The sound of the city, the sounds that are heard in San Francisco.
Best damn city in the world.
Did you know the common swift, found in areas of Europe, Asia, and Africa, rarely lands? It can eat and even mate while flying. And that's what we're trying to do. We're answering your questions on the wing. And I, Dr. Howland Owl, will answer any question. Remember, this should be taken advisedly. Do not waste your question on frivolity and foolish frippery.